Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. It's Carl, and with me today, I have got Paul Searle of Searle Video. How's it going, Paul?
Hey, Carl.
Going good.
Now, Paul, we met a few years ago in San Diego at Yonder, which was a conference and is a conference for distributed companies. You were there doing photography and video. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. I think that's the first time we met, although it feels like I've known you much longer.
It does feel that way. And your wife, Kelly, was there, and it was just great. I mean, it was you were hanging out, you're doing great work, but it was also just a great vibe. And I think we became friends. I think we were friends. And you've done so much for the Bureau, so thank you for that. I mean, obviously you're getting paid. I mean, it's a job, right? But you just put your heart into it. Not only are you a photographer and a videographer, but you're also a hell of a drone pilot. It's like a lot of people probably don't know that.
I'm a rookie drone pilot. We took one to Puerto Rico and we went for owner camp, and it was successful, although I did get some sand in the gimbal. Luckily, it was a rental, so we were okay.
Oh, man. I didn't realize that. So I'm sorry to hear you got sand in your gimbal.
Sand in the gimbal.
Sounds really painful. Well, the reason I want to have you on the show is we were talking recently, and you were sharing a personal project that you had started called Fair Play. Mm-hmm. And I really fell in love with this idea. So if you don't mind, go ahead and share with everybody just the genesis of the idea and what Fair Play is.
Sure, yeah. So it is a personal project. It's kind of hard to classify. I don't really know what to call it. It's not a business. It's more of like a service that I offer to events. And that's primarily our client base for Searle is events and conferences. So a few years ago, I had the idea to somehow figure out a way to film events for conferences that couldn't afford it, basically. And I came up with the idea to try and basically find sponsors for the events, kind of take that legwork out for them. It didn't end up going anywhere. I was just some random dude emailing people and nobody cared. So a few years later, it came up again, and a lot of the events that I was shooting, and especially in the tech industry, were diversity-based, and it's just a very big topic, a very important topic, one that I'm very interested in and want to help with. And then that old idea kind of came back and seemed to be the missing piece to the puzzle. And so what we did was I went out and found 6 events that were focused on diversity in some way, be it the actual event is, you know, about diversity, or they could be offering scholarships, or they have, you know, a ton of women speakers, or the organizers are diverse, or whatever it is. And we help them out and give them video services for free. And then we go and work with patrons to cover the costs. And then we kind of go and do our thing. So we ended up working with 5 companies in the first season: Stripe, Moo, MailChimp, Intel, and Automattic. So we got like some pretty cool companies involved, and it worked. It surprisingly worked. It's kind of an experiment that we're doing, and we're fixing things as we go, making sure we're not like stepping on any toes with sponsorships or anything like that. But yeah, that's kind of the base of it, and it's just a weird, interesting way to pay for video and try and help with diversity as much as a straight white guy can.
So how many events have you done? You said you listed the 5 sponsors, and by the way, congrats. I mean, you got some really, really good names there. How many events have you actually done?
So I do want to give a shout out to Andy McMillan from XOXO. He's been a big help getting those patrons on board. He has a lot of those connections and a great network and has been a huge help with that. So what we did was we decided to split it up into seasons, we were calling it, just to kind of make it a round number. So every 6 months, we find 6 events and 6 patrons was the goal. So the first season was the last half of 2015. We shot 6 events. from all over the country. We're in just U.S. based right now. We'd like to eventually go worldwide, but tech inclusion, Women in Tech Summit, Lesbians Who Tech, The Secret Handshake, Girl Develop It, and Gamer X were the six events that we covered, kind of all over the states, and basically created these recap videos for them and gave them to them, and then they used them for promotion, sent them to press, blogs, all that kind of stuff. So we're just wrapping up season two right now, which is the next six, which were the first 6 months of the year. It's I'm editing those as we speak. My producer David has been hard at work on those as well. So we're putting the finishing touches on those and hopefully sending them out tomorrow.
So are you, it's six different events. Is that kind of going to be the goal that every 6 months you've got six new events, six new sponsors, or are you bringing some back once you get into like season three?
It's kind of an interesting problem we have because, you know, I'd love, one of the nice things about working with events is they happen every year. So you can kind of go back and catch up and do it again. Our thinking, I believe right now, is that we don't want to kind of double dip on events, just to be fair and to spread the love over as much as possible is kind of the whole point of the whole thing. And so right now we've worked actually again with some of these events in different capacities, but right now it's just one time sort of thing. Now I will say that this is sort of future stuff that we're working on, but the six events every 6 years and six patrons is kind of a turning out to be sort of a tricky thing to do. Someone pointed out that it was 666 as well, which I didn't even think about.
But, it's the first thing I thought, and I was like, should I bring that up? Or, well, you know, maybe he signed a deal. You know, I don't want to mess up his deal. So
yeah. So what we're planning on, these are still plans, so I don't want to put anything in stone. But we're the goal is to, starting next year, do 333 instead. That'll kind of not only allow us to bring the cost down for the patrons and be able to work with more companies. It'll allow us to do, well, I guess the same amount of events, but we're also planning to expand into other industries as well. So far, it's been mostly tech events and design, a few design events. So we want to go into other industries. You know, the whole thing is it's about diversity, and there are diversity issues, of course, in every industry. So we, you know, we're exploring options in looking into sports events and medical, business, design, fashion. There's, I'm sure, many more that people can think of, but that's kind of the goal that we're working towards.
So how do you get traction in those other industries? And maybe you're right at the beginning of it now. Obviously, you've got some big names on the sponsor. So is that part of it? Are they helping you get over into the other industries?
Yeah, I think so. We'll see. We, like you said, we are at the very beginning of this. It's, as you'd imagine, the selling the events on this is pretty easy.
hey, we'd like to give you amazing quality video, fully produced at no cost. What do you say?
Yeah. So that's, one thing I didn't mention at the beginning of what the patrons get out of this is they get, at the beginning of each video, there's a sort of 15-second animation that we've put together with their logo in it, and it's sort of like a podcast sponsorship sort of thing. So I think going into these new industries, getting events on board won't be an issue. It'll be, right, like reaching out to a different industry. You know, Andy's contacts are all in this tech world. So I'm thinking that we're either going to need to find new people that are interested to kind of work with on that, or we're also playing with the idea of hiring someone to come in and help out with, you know, marketing, PR, and just reaching out to these sort of things. Because it's a full-time job. I'm trying to do it, you know, on top of all this other stuff we're doing. So it's potentially going to hopefully be creating a few jobs as well.
So when you look at the challenges, obviously finding the next round of companies, figuring out how you say yes and how you say no, this seems like one of the biggest challenges. How are you going about determining which companies you go after? And are you at a tipping point where people are starting to come to you?
Yeah, that is something that we put a lot of thought in, because we don't want to work with companies. Well, they kind of self-censor themselves in a way, because it's not a huge ROI business sort of thing in terms of, you know, you're not going to get a ton of views off of this. These are smaller events by design. It's sort of helping the industry, helping the movement, and you know, they get to, I think from them, their perspective, it's sort of a recruiting effort. So in that sense, it's kind of helps itself out, where if they're just trying to do a traditional sponsorship, they're just not interested in the first place. But you know, we do take into account their history and kind of their, you know, why they would be interested in helping out. And we don't want to offend anybody or work with a company that would offend anybody. Although, you know, some events take it a lot more seriously. I've reached out to a few events that did turn us down because they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to give up the chance that maybe we'd work with a company that they didn't like. And it's kind of a little intense for me. You know, Twitter is an example of one that they are like, oh, we can't work with Twitter because of all the stuff they do. But I'd love to work with Twitter because, you know, they're trying. And so it's kind of just it's a balancing act. It's tricky.
Well, but kudos to them and kudos to you, because if they're truly standing up for their belief system, then getting something as high quality and well-intentioned as it may be, but they seem to be benefiting somebody that they feel has, you know, not even benefited, but possibly harmed or looked down or not taken seriously. I don't even know how to say it. I can appreciate that. And for you, there's so much more you can do for the good if you have them. So I can appreciate that it's a little bit of a tightrope.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And you know, we're upfront that like this is a business thing that we're running essentially. It's not a nonprofit. We've thought about it, but it just doesn't make sense for it. And so it's not a secret. But the reason that we are upfront about it is because it's so beneficial and it's a win-win for everybody. And we're taking on all of the risk. You know, if the event, we go to the events first and kind of find this group of events, and if we tell them we're going to shoot it, we're going to shoot it, no matter if we find the sponsors or the patrons or not. And then the patrons get out of it what they put in as well. So it's we're trying to be really upfront and honest with what it is, and not try and, you know, we're not trying to take advantage of anything, and we're just trying to do what we do well and help if possible.
Well, no, it reminds me a lot of, I mean, for-profit companies. Look at 3Spot, right? Look at Bill Barbeau's company, mm-hmm. in DC, and they pride themselves on betterment projects. Like, they want to work with nonprofits trying to make the world better. They're still charging, mm-hmm. because they've still got to survive. So exactly. and they're not charging less. They're not doing anything like that. It's about sustainability, because good efforts, you know, when you're out there and you're fighting to make things better, you have to be able to keep going. It's not like a one-time deal and then you go back to your job. So I can appreciate that. And I have no doubt, knowing you, that the way you present it has been thought through. And the thing that gets me, though, is you shoot first and then you find your patrons.
That's how it has been. That's hopefully not going to be how it is in the future.
Okay.
That's also part of the plan of going to 333 is, right now, we're just playing catch up pretty much, you know, like it, and that's part of the risk that I was talking about, in that we're shooting before we find the patrons, and we're putting our own money on the line. And so eventually we'd like to get to the point where I can work with someone, bring someone on that will find, you know, the first step is finding the events much earlier than I have been, and then selling them to the patrons much earlier than I have been, and then hopefully getting paid before the actual event happens, ideally. You know, I'm this is a moving target and we're figuring it out. So, you know, when we don't get our six patrons for this season, it's not the end of the world. It, you know, we'll make it work, but that's the goal for the future. And just so, like you said, it needs to be sustainable and, you know, if I do this for hopefully a while, doing it this way may not be the best business sense.
The one thing I like about the idea of shooting it first, or not even shooting it first, but finding the event first, is you can match really good patrons.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. I'm sure that's part of the thought process that goes into it. Mm-hmm. When you approach the venues right now, when you approach the events right now, do you tell them who the previous patrons have been? Obviously, because that's why somebody would get upset about Twitter. Or do you tell them who you're looking to get or going for to try to be their sponsor?
Yeah. So far, it's been that we've told them who the previous one was. Well, we're only in season two, so the first season we didn't do that. But this season, you're like, last season we had all these cool companies on board. But you're right. Like, in the future, especially when we go into their industries, I think, and it's only three events, we can really tailor it, kind of almost reverse engineer, just kind of getting like a perfect match of company to event. You know, if we want to work with a certain company, we can work backwards and be like, what events would they be interested in, and then go to those events. And you know, we could do it the other way around too. It works both ways. So I think that's a way that we're going to approach it in the future.
So with the companies that you have that are the patrons, they obviously mm-hmm. have huge social followings. So are you finding that they are sharing the videos, they're putting them out there for people to see as part of their contribution? And if so, well, you may be too early on, but have the events themselves seen any uptick in interest?
I think you're right. I think we're a little too early on to tell. We have found that they do share them, and that the events share them as well, obviously. Kind of it's a little weird because we are still figuring out, you know, what we ask of the patron and what we ask of the event. Right now, it's very simple. It's give us money and we'll do this video, and then here event, do whatever you want with this video. And we want to be careful not to, we don't want to ask the event to like give us a shout out at the event, because then that gets into like traditional sponsorship and stepping on toes of the sponsors at the event. So there's weird stuff like that, but, so far it's sort of been, they've been sharing it on their own, which has been great and what we want. But you know, we may try and figure out ways to be like, you know, for the events, like, oh, you know, once you get the video, it'd be great if you could tweet it out and link to the site, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think your original instinct is really good, not to ask the event. Yeah. I think they have to want to. I was definitely more on the sponsor side of them sharing it. But I mean, obviously the event wants to be able to use it. It's that the part about there is an ad at the beginning, right? Even though it's super cool.
Yeah.
And it's really well done. I mean, I've seen them, and I'll link one up in the notes on this episode. But for me, it feels like that's the huge opportunity, is those sponsors who have, you know, 100,000 plus followers on different media, to be able to just say, hey, this is going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I think we need to focus on that more than we have been, which is good timing, because I'm about to send these out. So I'll do that this time.
Paul, in the time that we have left, how has this felt for you personally? Like, from the idea to seeing it happen to now seeing, you know, the challenges and the effort you're going to have to put in to keep it going, how are you doing?
It's very exciting. Just because I can see the potential in it and the sustainability in it, and how it can, you know, selfishly help my company, and it can help the industry, and it can help people. You know, I felt drawn to it because, more personally, because my mom is gay, and so like I want to be able to help that somehow, but I've always felt weird doing it in super direct ways. So this is my way of trying to help, you know. So far, this is the first interview I've given about it, actually. I've been kind of trying to keep it more as a service, but it makes more sense to sort of get it out there and try and share it with people. And so it's a weird, you know, I go back and forth about, like, I don't want to be the face of this. I need to bring someone on to help out with it. But it's time, you know, we've made it far enough and proven that it can work. And so we need to start talking about it.
Well, Paul, I'll tell you, at the Bureau, we're big believers in you and what you do, and definitely support you with Fair Play.
Thank you.
It's an amazing effort, and I think it has the opportunity to do a lot of good for a lot of people. So thank you so much for being on the show today and sharing what you're doing with us.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, and if anyone wants to check it out, the website's fairplay.video.
Awesome, and I'll make sure that we hook that up as well. Everybody, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.